Margaret fell writes to the newly convinced to stay in the cross, until they observe their death and rising as born again. Perhaps the greatest error in Christianity today is to presume. To presume one is born again. To presume one is saved. All based on reading selective scriptures, like the Pharisees finding eternal life in the scriptures. To presume the touch of God, given to awaken us to his reality and only a call, without yet being chosen. To presume such to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the evidence of being born again, or worst of all, to be misinterpreted as evidence to being made a minister or designated a prophet, thereby obligated to go out and preach the letter without spirit, resulting in spiritual retardation and death of the soul. Such presumption is catastrophic to the presumer. Here Margaret Fell stresses such saved and born-again conditions must be witnessed. That is verified, observed, heard, felt, experienced versus imagined, presumed, assumed, claimed, believed, read about. She pleads that those newly convinced of the truth will not fool themselves to living in a pretension and form, but warns them to stay in the cross, observe their hearts being ripped open with their secrets exposed, observe their death and whether you are cleansed, whether you are purged, whether you are washed, the result of which is to be free from sin, to enjoy union with God and his kingdom with the fruits of holiness. An epistle to convinced but not yet crucified friends, in 1656, dear friends, brethren and sisters in the eternal light, by which we are gathered, which is our teacher and leader, which light comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, in whom is life, and this life is the light of all men, who has laid down his life for his sheep, and who gives unto his sheep eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Your righteousness is of me, said the Lord, and this is the heritage of the saints. This you are made partakers of, who walk in the light and dwell in the light, shall have the light of life, and come to know the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, who has come a light into the world. He that believes in him shall not walk in darkness, nor shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the Father's free love, to send his only begotten Son into the world, who is hated and rejected of men, but chosen of God and precious, who is become the head of our corner, glory eternal be to the living God. On him are we built, in him are we rooted and grounded. He is our foundation and root, we his offspring, on whom we stand fast, unmovable. This is the cornerstone, which all the builders refuse and disallow. But on this rock is the whole church built, which is made of living stones, elect and precious, the spiritual temple, whose maker and builder is God. And now we, having an high priest over the household of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. She is speaking of spiritual water, from above which must be witnessed, not the water baptism of the earth's water. Just as we must witness the fire of baptism that burns away all impurity, leaving us pure. Wherefore return to the shepherd of your souls, an unchangeable priest, which is made with an oath forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who is made surety of a better testament, who needs not daily to offer sacrifice. But he has offered one sacrifice, and forever has sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting, until his enemies be made his footstool. For by his own offering has he perfected forever those who are sanctified. And of this the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, in the fulfilling of the everlasting promise of the Lord God, who has said, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now, dear brethren, of this bear witness, witness as in experience or observe and feel, not as in go and tell others. And of the truth and faithfulness of the Lord God, you may set to your seals, all who abide in the light and depart from iniquity, who name this name, which is better than other names, to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And now that you are made partakers of a living, pure, eternal, immortal principle, which come from the living God, by which you may enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Therefore hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for faithful is he that is promised. In the straight and narrow way that leads to life pass on, that through the straight gate you may enter, which few there are who find. Oh. In the eternal light, which is one in all, which leads up to the Father of light, and in the measure of light received from the Father and fountain of light and life, all wait and all dwell. And to the life, raised by the immortal word of life, join your minds, and pass from the death to the life, that so you may come to know and witness the true love that is to the brethren, where the unity is, whereby you all may know that you are true disciples, in that you love one another. And here you fulfill the whole law, and keep the new commandment, which your Lord and Master has commanded. Therefore, dearly beloved brethren, consider what you are called to, and what you are made to partake of, even of a living and pure and holy priesthood, a peculiar people you are, and of the holy nation and of the royal seed. Now, with the light which is eternal, which searches and tries and examines and weighs, and makes all things manifest of what sort it is. Let this search and try you, how you grow up in the eternal and immortal birth, and do not deceive your souls. For except you are born again, of water heavenly water, not earthly water baptism, and of the Spirit you cannot enter. Now see whether you can read this in the light, and whether you know and see and witness this in your own particulars, yes or no, and see whether you are not like Nicodemus, who said, "How can these things be?" and whether you are not ignorant of this. Therefore, all come down to the witness of God, and deal plainly with your own souls, and let the judge, which stands at the door, pass sentence upon you. Let the time pass suffice, that you have hidden the talent in the earth, which you have received from the Lord to benefit all. And let the earth give up her dead, and the sea give up her dead, and hell give up her dead, and let all come to judgment. Let death and hell be cast into the lake, and freely give up that which is for the sword to the sword, and that which is for the fire to the fire, so that those who are dead in sin may arise. For of what benefit is it for you to take the profession and form of the living truth? For if the dead do not rise, she is speaking of us rising from death now, not after being physically buried, you are still in your sins, and your faith is vain. Therefore see what you are doing. For it is not the talker who is saved, but he that does the will of my Father, and many shall be called, and few chosen. Now see with the light, which is eternal, that you are not only of the many which are called, but of the few which are chosen. Give all diligence, not to make only your calling, but your election sure. Friends, your day of calling has come. You are called out of the world and separated from the world by the call of the living God. The light calls out of Sodom and Egypt where the many are. Therefore do not deceive yourselves, for you are some of the many that are called, and you are made partakers of that which calls continually, the voice behind which cries, "This is the way, walk in it, why will you die?" Now consider how you respond to this holy call, and how you are obedient to it, and how you are subject, and how you are taught and guided by the measure of God's Spirit. For all the children of the Lord are taught of the Lord, and in righteousness are they established. Now search with the light which is eternal, whether you are established in righteousness and purity. If you are not, then mind the teachings of the Lord. For he that walks in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Now examine whether you are cleansed, whether you are purged, whether you are washed. For if you walk in the light, then you witness, observe, and experience cleansing and washing. And beware of betraying the just and the innocent in you, with a form and profession of the truth, without the life, and so betray your own souls, I warn you, and charge you, as you will answer it to the Lord. But to the pure eternal principle of the Lord God all turn, and keep your minds unto this, which is given unto you, for the redeeming and ransoming of your souls from the captivity and bondage of sin and corruption. Respond diligently to that of God, that your souls may live, and that you may see your Savior, who saves his people from their sins, and so witness the salvation of your souls. You are made partakers of the free grace of God, which brings salvation, so let it be your teacher and leader. Beware of turning this grace into a lack of restraint, which is able to save your souls. But receive with meekness the engrafted word, that the milk thereof you may witness, and as newborn babes, desire that you may grow thereby. We declare unto you the word that is near, in the heart, which is the word of faith which we preach, which word was in the beginning, by which word the heaven and the earth was made, which we have heard, which we have seen, which our hands have handled. To the measure of this in you am I made manifest, and my joy in life is that you would take heed to your own measures received, and be true and faithful to that which is able to save your souls, that eternal pure redemption you may come to witness, and the unity of the faith, and so joining to the body, which holds the head, from which the living virtue is received, so that you may grow up as lively plants in the garden of God, which now he is dressing and watering and pruning, that to him fruit may be brought forth, who is the Lord of the vineyard, and the husbandman who purges every plant that bears fruit, that it may bring forth more fruit. Every branch that does not bear not fruit, he takes away. Now see with the eternal light, whether you bring forth fruit unto God. For every tree is known by its fruit, and every branch which the Lord plants brings forth fruit, not only leaves but fruit. Now search whether you bring forth fruit or leaves. For that tree that is in the garden and brings forth nothing but leaves is to be cut down. Now, friends, deal plainly with yourselves, and let the eternal light search you and try you for the good of your souls. For this will deal plainly with you. It will rip you up and lay you open and make all manifest which lodges in you. The secret subtlety of the enemy of your souls, this eternal searcher and trier will make manifest. Therefore all to this come, and by this be searched and judged and led and guided. For to this you must stand or fall. And if you turn from this, this is a swift witness against the adulterer and sorcerer, and from this you cannot flee. In this I have cleared my conscience. And for the good of your souls I have written this, who desires that you might all be where I am, that so we might all be one. So the Lord God of life and power keep you all in his fear, that the Lord God you may serve and honor, that your hearts may be kept clean, and the secrets of the Lord you may come to know, which none shall ever know but those that fear him, and this you shall eternally witness. Therefore, I say again, fear the Lord God, so that the pure wisdom you may come to learn. For dreadful and terrible is the Lord God, and the day of the vengeance of our God has come, in which he renders to everyone according to his deeds. The backslider and the revolter and the disobedient ones and the careless and the slothful and those whose minds are at liberty and will not abide in the cross of Christ, all these shall receive according to their deeds. Therefore, dear friends, abide in the cross and keep your minds to that which is pure, so that you may come to witness the enmity slain and the handwriting of ordinances blotted out and nailed to the cross, and you crucified to the world and the world to you. Consider one another and provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Dwell in love and unity in the pure eternal light. There is your fellowship, there is your cleansing and washing. Here is the mystery to all the disobedient ones. The everlasting God of everlasting light and everlasting life and power keep you all here faithful to your own measure, that so the resurrection and the life you may witness, and the living bread you may feed on, which whosoever eats of shall never die. So God Almighty be with you, and preserve you all faithful in Christ Jesus. From your dear sister in the unchangeable love of Christ, who desires the good of all your souls, Margaret Fell 1656, updated from her book. A Brief Collection of Remarkable Passages, London, 1710, pp. 106-114. Margaret Fox writes on Quakers slipping into a form of dress a few short years after George Fox's death. Below is Margaret Fox's letter criticizing the Quakers who were retaining the fashion of the previous years, only 10 years back, as a mark of their Quakerism. It is easy to understand how this happened. Quakers did not keep up with changes in fashion, retaining their old clothes until worn out, so the main body of Quakers dressed in the fashion of past years. This became the de facto standard of dress, which the new members were erroneously advised to imitate. Instead, they should have simply retained the clothes they owned, as long as they were inelegant and without superfluous trimmings, and when those wore out, buy whatever was then commonly available in the market. But instead, they dressed in the fashion of previous years, erroneously thinking this was not following fashion. This creation of a fashion for their religion was exactly what Jesus cried against when he said, "Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets. The same shall receive greater damnation." Luke 20:46-47, "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." Matt 23:5. Margaret decried this practice of dressing in the fashion of a previous time as falling into a form and warned them to stay out of forms. For following a form is attempting to be justified by the law rather than faith and grace, and you will never be successful under the law. For by observing a form, you are obligating yourself to perform the whole law as your justification. A form is just another facet of the law of sin and death. Read Galatians if you don't fully understand the consequence of falling under a form of this outward law. We still observe the moral core of the law and the inward law as the Lord writes it in our hearts, with direct commands that if we obey, are written in our heart. See Margaret's further below letter on obedience to the law required. Margaret Fox's Epistle to Friends, from Swarthmore Hall, 4th month, 1698. The Freedom of the Spirit from Outward Uniformity. Dear friends, brethren, and sisters, God the Father of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a universal God of mercy and love to all people. And in that blessed love he visited us, in an acceptable time and in a day of salvation. And he that early brought unto us the glad tidings of the gospel of peace, namely George Fox, continued in the body among God's plantation up and down 40 years. And we had from him certain directions and instructions upon many weighty accounts and occasions. He has left us several writings and records, to be practiced according to the gospel which he preached among us. And we have lived under the teaching of that blessed eternal spirit of the eternal God, which he directed us to, unto this day. Now it is good for us all to go on and continue hand in hand in the unity and fellowship of this eternal spirit, in humility and lowliness of mind, each esteeming others better than ourselves. And this is well-pleasing unto God. And let us all take heed of touching anything like the ceremonies of the Jews, for that was displeasing unto Christ, for he came to bear witness against them, and testified against their outside practices. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets. The same shall receive greater damnation. Luke 20:46-47, so that we may see how ill he liked their outward ceremonies. So let us keep to the rule and leading of the eternal Spirit, that God has given us to be our teacher. Let that put on and off as is meet proper and serviceable for everyone's state and condition. Let us take heed of limiting that, neither practices is safe for us. For we are under the gospel leading, guiding and teaching, which is a free spirit, which leads into unity. Lowliness of mind the saints and servants of Christ, desiring to be established in the free spirit, not bound or limited. Legal ceremonies are far from gospel freedom. Let us beware of being guilty, or having a hand in ordering or contriving that which is contrary to gospel freedom. For the apostle would not have dominion over their faith in Corinth, but to be helpers of their faith. It's a dangerous thing to lead young friends much into the observation of outward things, which may be easily done, for they can soon get into an outward garb to be all alike outwardly, but this will not make them Christians. It's the Spirit that gives life. I would be loath to have a hand in these things. The Lord preserve us, that we do no hurt to God's work, but let him work whose work it is. We have lived quietly and peaceably thus far, and it's not for God's service to make breaches. Margaret Fox Swarthmore Hall, 4th month, 1698, updated from her book. A Brief Collection of Remarkable Passages, London, 1710, pp. 530-435. From Valiant for the Truth, written in 1880 by Ruth S. Murray, a Quaker, it remains to be a truth that those Christians who enter most deeply into the spiritual nature of the gospel dispensation will find that it leads them into simplicity as regards their outward appearances. The new life hid with Christ in God must differ from the old life of self-indulgence, and many things will drop off like the petals of the flower when the fruit matures. But as the outward creation differs, so peculiar temperaments differ, and there will be variety in the household of God. Great variety but great unity, as the love of God and the desire to serve him are predominant, and all things done to his glory. During the lifetime of George Fox, there was no evidence of any disposition to enforce a uniform style of dress among friends. They were gathered out of all classes of society, from the army, the navy, and the church, from commercial and professional circles, from the farm and the workshop, and from every religious profession in Great Britain. They embraced representatives of every rank, the rich and the poor, the high and the low, the learned and the ignorant, cavaliers and roundheads, churchmen and dissenters, and they dressed as differently as they naturally would do under such circumstances. Before another generation passed away, however, that natural tendency of all human institutions continually to gravitate earthward, unless perpetually revived and uplifted by the same almighty power which first gives life to them, began to manifest itself in the organization of the Society of Friends. William Penn, after becoming a Quaker, continued to dress as a cavalier. However, he did remove superfluous jewelry, ribbons, and other ornamentation from his apparel. When asked by King James Roman II, his friend and supporter, how their religions differed, Penn reportedly stated, "Thy hat hath ribbons, my hat hath none." Plain in the original context was simple. Free from ornamentation, not elegant. but free from restriction of color, free from restriction of uniformity, free to accommodate individual preferences, and certainly not clothing of a style from years or centuries past. To wear clothing in a style from times past is being a follower of a particular fashion, exactly what the original Quakers were against. Their original ideal has been twisted into doing the exact opposite of ignoring fashion. However holy it may feel to wear such clothing, it is a grievous error. If such had value, Fox and his followers would have worn robes copied from the time of Christ, which of course they did not. Once Fox was arrested and came before a judge, accused of vagrancy, the judge had him pull his pockets inside out. The judge immediately ruled, "This man is no vagrant, his pockets of linen prove that." Quality, color, and different preferences are not in conflict with the original plane. What the Quakers advocated was to ignore the world's fashions of vanity, but not to create a fashion of plainness to be followed. As would be expected, Satan would attack the true church with a mighty power, to deceive it into becoming just another suburb of Babylon. He attacks wherever he can establish a form, a rule, or observance, such as dress. Margaret Fox writes further on Quaker slippage into a form of dress below is Margaret Fox's last letter to the assemblies of Quakers, written in her 86th year. She had written earlier as above, decrying the slippage of the Quaker faith into forms, thereby forsaking the inward spirit and law. But her pleas went unheeded, for in this letter she notes the forbidding of colors in dress as further error and deadly to those practicing such outward forms. In her other writings, she reports that she received cloth as a gift from her husband, George Fox, in scarlet color. Obviously, the mother and father of Quakers did not support uniformity of dress or color. They supported simplicity, not drabness, and certainly did not support wearing clothing of a few centuries back, thinking it to be godly dress. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets. The same shall receive greater damnation. Luke 20:46-47, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Matt 23:5, she warns that this outward drift into form is a choice between spiritual life and death. Her warnings went unheeded. 2. Friends, brethren, and sisters, April 1700, these silly outside imaginary practices are coming up and practiced with great zeal, which has often grieved my heart. Friends and brethren and sisters, we are the people of the living God, and God has visited us. And he has brought us out in an acceptable day of salvation, a gospel day in which the eternal God is gathering his elect, from the four winds of heaven and from the four corners of the earth, Mark 13:27. And he has shined from the throne of his glory in our hearts, in his spiritual light, and given us the true knowledge of himself, in the face and image of Jesus Christ. He has made us partakers of his divine nature. He has given us his good and holy spirit to lead us, and to guide us into all truth in all things. Now, dear friends, brethren, and sisters, let us all beware of limiting the Holy One of Israel or tampering with anything contrary to this Holy Spirit. For the grace of God is sufficient to teach us, to deny all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and will teach us to live holy and righteously, unto God and his truth, in this present and evil world. Let us beware of meddling with the things of God, otherwise than his Spirit leads and guides. Now there is a spirit that has gotten up among friends in some places that would make and meddle in their imaginations, in leading of friends into things outwardly, which our Lord Jesus Christ never commanded. For he always testified against the Jews' manner of making and prescribing of things outwardly, for his testimony is in every heart to work inwardly, and make them the inside. So let us beware of imitating and fashioning after the Jews' manner in outward things and ceremonies. For though it be said in Scripture that his prophet should dwell alone, that was in that time under the law when he had chosen them out of all the families of the earth, yet he would punish them for their transgression. But now our blessed Lord is come, and it is but a small thing for him to gather together the tribes of Israel and the dispersed of Judah. He is also given for a light to the Gentiles and to be for salvation to the end of the earth. He would have all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his blessed truth. He testified against the Pharisees, who said, "I am more holy than you." Let us beware of this, of separating or looking upon ourselves to be more holy than in deed and in truth we are. For what are we but what we have received from God? God is all sufficient to bring in thousands into the same spirit and light, to lead and to guide them as he does us. Let us frame and fashion ourselves unto the apostles' doctrine and practice, who was in a glorious shining light, read 1 Cor 9, 19, and so to the end. Now see how contrary our practice is to the apostles, when we must not go to a burial of the people of the world, nor ask them to any of our burials, or do that which is moderate and of a good report, as to meats or drinks. Again, read 1 Cor 10:27. If any of them that believe not, if he invites you to a feast, and if you are disposed to go, eat whatsoever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. This feast invitation is more important than a birth or burial, however, which is needful and necessary. Away with these whimsical narrow imaginations, and let the Spirit of God which he has given us lead us and guide us. Let us stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again into bondage in observing proscriptions, in outward things which will not profit, nor cleanse the inward man, which is the work of Christ Jesus, in this his day. By this let everyone do as they are persuaded in their own minds, for the apostle said he was not to rule over anyone's faith. For it has now been 47 years since we owned the truth, and all things has gone well and peaceably until now. Lately, that this narrowness and straitness is entering in, so that many cannot tell what to do or not do. Our monthly and quarterly meetings were set up for reproving and looking into superfluous or disorderly walking, and such to be admonished and instructed in the truth. It is for not private persons to take upon themselves to make orders and say this must be done and the other must not be done. Can friends think that those who are taught and guided of God could be subject and follow such low, mean orders? So it's good for friends of our country to leave these things to the Lord who has become our leader, teacher, and guide, and not to go abroad to spread. For they will never do good, but have done hurt already. We are now coming into Judaism, into that which Christ cried woe against, minding altogether outward things, neglecting the inward work of Almighty God in our hearts. If we can only frame according to outward prescriptions and orders, and deny eating and drinking with our neighbors, in so much that poor friends are mangled in their minds, that they know not what to do. For one friend says one way, and another another, but Christ Jesus said, that we must take no thought what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall put on, but tells to us consider the lilies how they grow in more royalty than Solomon, Matt 6:28-31. Instead, contrary to this, we must look at no colors, nor make anything that is changeable colors as the hills are, nor sell them, nor wear them. But we must be all in one dress and one color. This is a silly, poor gospel. It is more fit for us to be covered with God's eternal Spirit and clothed with his eternal light which leads us and guides us into righteousness, and to live righteously and justly and holy in this profane, evil world. This is the clothing that God puts upon us and likes and will bless. This will make our light shine forth before men, that they may glorify our heavenly Father which is in heaven, Matt 5:16. For we have God for our teacher, and we have his promises and doctrines, and we have the apostles' practice in their day and generation. And we have God's Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, and we have the blessed truth that we are made partakers of to be our practice. And why should we turn to men and women to a teaching which is contrary to what Christ Jesus commands and the apostles' practice? Here is the where those things before mentioned stand upon. Where have we had those whimsies and imaginations? Friends, we have one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Let us keep to him, or we are undone. This is not delightful to me, that I have this occasion to write to you. For wherever I saw it appear, I have stood against it several years, and now I dare neglect no longer. For I see that our blessed, precious, holy truth that has visited us from the beginning is kept under. And these silly outside imaginary practices are coming up, and practiced with great zeal, which has often grieved my heart. Now I have set before you life and death, and desire you to choose life, Deut. 30:19, and God and his truth. Margaret Fox, second month in the year 1700. Updated from source, Undaunted Zeal, The Letters of Margaret Fell, 2003. Elsa F. Glines, pp. 468-471, a rich collection of 166 of Margaret Fell's letters with extensive commentary and historical notes. Despite the multiple warnings of Margaret Fox in 1698-1700, the Irish, English, and American Quakers had established an unwritten conformity of dress required of their members. As Margaret Fox warned them, they entered spiritual death, believing that dress contributed to their righteousness, thus slipping into a form of the original Quaker denial of superfluous ribbons, solid gold braiding, and dysfunctional gingerbread on clothing. In 1752, from Amsterdam, Samuel Neill wrote to Richard Shackleton regarding the Quakers in Holland, "There is no conformity of dress in the professors here, which is peculiar to the simplicity of the gospel. I hope the labor bestowed on them, as it comes from the fountain of all good, will so operate with the gift in them as to bring them to a sense of their error." Unfortunately, the supposed error of the Dutch was the log in the eye of the entire English-speaking Quaker movement. As is plainly seen, her pleas and serious consequence warnings were ignored in 1700 and continue to be ignored in 2007, as evidenced from letters written by Quaker ministers. Conformity of dress became a universal requirement in England, Ireland, and America around 1730. Fox and the early Quakers would never have dressed in a robe, the dress of holy men in centuries past, so as to look holy, so as to rely on clothes to be their badge of religion. To the contrary, their badge of religion was in the moderation of their conversation and conduct. Neither would they have worn a cross to display their godliness. To dress like a Quaker and speak like a Quaker does not make one a Quaker. It is a form of godliness without the power of God, from such withdraw. 1 Tim 3, 5 Margaret Fox writes to William Penn, founder of Pennsylvania and West Jersey, showing the love that Christ's true disciples have for each other. There are three testimonies to the authenticity of the early Quaker faith. 1, the persecutions they suffered. 2, the miracles and signs that accompanied their ministries. And 3, the love they had for each other and even their enemies. For Christ said, "I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This letter plainly exhibits that love. Penn was perhaps the closest to Fox of all his brethren. Accordingly, he was chosen to write his outstanding introduction to Fox's journal. Margaret Fox here writes to Penn about Penn's letter of advice in the recovery of those Quakers who had run out from the unity, thinking any rules of conduct in their personal lives were an imposition on their conscience, as follows. To William Penn, dear and faithful, whom the Lord has chosen, owned, and honored with his everlasting truth, who has manifested yourself to be a true follower of the Lamb. Blessed are you forever, who has chosen that good part that never shall be taken away from you, but in it you will love, grow, thrive, and be clothed with beauty, glory, and majesty. My heart and soul's love is dearly remembered unto you, and my spirit does rejoice in your faithfulness and diligence in the Lord's work and service. You are a novel and faithful instrument in the hand of the Almighty for the spreading of his truth and for the exaltation of his kingdom. Oh, your name will be held in everlasting remembrance with all the faithful, as they come into that same spirit of grace, life, and power by which you are moved and carried for the good service that you do for the Lord, for his truth, and the gathering of his elect seed. He will reward it 100-fold into your bosom. Oh, beautiful are your feet that preach glad tidings to the poor and liberty to the captives. Isa 61:1-2. Children yet unborn will bless the Lord for you. I received your sweet and blessed letter, which was much joy to me and many more, to hear of that good service for the Lord. The day that it came to my hand here, I was in a meeting, and I was moved by the Lord to read it in the meeting. It was a great comfort, joy, and gladness to the hearts of friends to hear of your good service and of the truth's prospering. Oh, blessed and honored by the Holy Lord forever, who is enlarging the borders of this sanctuary and spreading abroad his truth. Blessed are the publishers of it. We have also received a very pertinent paper of yours concerning the separate meeting, and yesterday evening we received another from my husband, written from Amsterdam, very pure and pertinent to the same purpose. But I do not know that either of them will be read among them, for friends have endeavored to get yours to them, and to date they have not read it. They will not receive any to read them. They and friends are now separated, and they meet apart and by themselves, so that they will hardly allow any friend to come among them, to read a paper. For when they met among friends, they would hardly allow anything to be read quietly that they looked upon to be against themselves. Some of them grow more hard and obstinate than ever, others that are more simple are troubled and tormented. We wait in hope for the return of such. Friends' meetings are more pertinent, powerful, fresh and lively since they separated from them than they have been in many years. Thomas Langhorne is now here, who gives me a very good account of their particular meetings, and general meetings and men and women's meetings, all furnished with the Lord's power and living presence, praised and honored be the powerful God. So that now all is well, as our hearts can desire. Yet friends are moved of the Lord to go among them to bear their testimony against them. James Fletcher and Richard Johnson are to be with them tomorrow at John Wilkinson's house, and Richard Ray, a Scotch friend, is to be with them on the first day. He is moved to go among them, as to a priest in a steeple house, to deliver his testimony and then to come away. It is to be feared they will be very rough and boisterous with them, but the Lord's power is over them, which will bruise them and break them. Dear William, friends are very much gladdened and refreshed in the Lord here on your behalf, for that you have had a tender care over friends in this your great travels and journeys. But it is neither sea nor land, height nor depth, that can separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, which he has shed abroad in the hearts of his people. Your printed epistle was very serviceable and very dearly received among friends. Remember my very dear and eternal love to your dear wife, whom I honor in the Lord for her faithfulness and constancy and innocence. The arm of the Almighty preserve and keep you both in that bond and covenant of love and life that never can be broken. My daughters Sarah's, Susanna's, and Rachel's love is dearly and faithfully remembered unto you both. So I know it is with my son and daughter Lower, but they do not know of my writing now. Robert Wider's was here this day, whose dear love is to you. And Thomas Langhorne also remembers his dear love unto you. So dearly beloved, this is all that I have at present, but my never dying love remains with you, and that I am your dear friend and sister in the Lord. Margaret Fox, updated from source, Undaunted Zeal, The Letters of Margaret Fell, 2003. Elsa F. Glines, pp. 421-422, a rich collection of 166 of Margaret Fell's letters with extensive commentary and historical notes. Margaret writes to George Fox. John Abraham's son, Daniel, stayed with Margaret and her family after his father's death, to later marry Margaret's daughter, Rachel. Subsequently, he purchased Swarthmore Hall, living there with his family and Margaret. Like George and Margaret, he also spent time in prison for failure to pay tithes. Margaret writes to her husband, George Fox. Dear love, in the blessed holy unity of the seed of life that endures and remains forever in this, is my eternal and dear love remembered unto you, and by this may you know that we arrived well at Lancaster in about 3 days' time after we left you in London. We stayed several days in Cheshire and Lancashire. We had several meetings among them. Then we came to our quarterly meeting, which was the largest that we ever had, both for men and women. The Lord's powerful presence was with us in a glorious manner. Praises be to his name forever. There is nothing done yet against friends, except the adversary's attorney has charged several persons that are the friends, creditors, not to receive any of their goods. He makes great boasts what he will do against them, but yet he says he wants his authority, which will come in a little time from the king and bishops, and then he will regain his great charges. It would be well if the inquiry were made as to whether there is any such thing or not. He has brought a report from London that you offered to agree with him and sent for an account of his charges, but nobody believes his lies except those that are like himself. Friends are generally well, and truth prospers and gets ground in these parts. Blessed forever be his holy name. Will Barnes of Sank is dead, and so is John Baddeley of Cheshire and John Abraham. Robert Wider's went that way to see him Abraham, but he had departed some hours before he got there, but he stayed for the funeral. He left a very sweet savor behind him, both among the world and friends. He was a serviceable man in his life, and his death was very comfortable to all that were with him, and he left a living testimony for the truth. Indeed, I was refreshed to hear the account that friends gave of him at the time of his sickness and at his departure. John Haddeke and several other ministering friends were at his funeral and had great service, there being many of the great ones in the country and town. His son, Daniel Abraham, came to the quarterly meeting to take friends' advice about this father's will. He has left him and his mother executors, and Thomas Ridgers and Roger Haddocake and my son Lower Lesser, trustees. It seems he very much desired that his son might be a little while with my son Lower. And truly, the younger man is so much dejected and cast down with his father's death that I do not see how we can deny him. and he has been for many months pretty much exercised in his mind, having nobody to be with at home but what is not friends. It is pretty hard, and it being also his father's great desire to have him a little time with my son, we desire to know what you think. He does desire it, but for a little time he intends to undertake part of his father's trade. I was yesterday at Marsh Grange to see my daughter, Mary Lower, who is pretty well, and so are her children. My son and she remembered their dear loves to you. I have spoken several times to Leonard Fell about coming to you, but he thinks his business will not allow him to come for the next 2 months, which I am afraid will be too long for you to want one to be constantly with you. I desire you to let us hear from you how you are in health and how everything is with you. I would be glad if you were inclined to come home so that you might get a little rest. I think it is the most comfortable when one has a home to be there, but the Lord gives us patience to bear all things. This is the most at present, but my dear everlasting unalterable love which thinks no evil, I am your dear loving and faithful wife Margaret Fox. Susan and Rachel remembers their dearest love and duty unto you. Updated from source, Undaunted Zeal, The Letters of Margaret Fell, 2003. Elsa F. Glines, pp. 436-437, a rich collection of 166 of Margaret Fell's letters with extensive commentary and historical notes. And here is another letter from Margaret to George, wishing he could come home, but not at the expense of the spread of the Lord's truth. Margaret and George were harshly and slanderously criticized for their frequent and long separations, due to George's ministry. From her letters, we can glimpse the sacrifice they both made, forsaking the enjoyment of their fellowship and love to serve the Lord, and sympathize greatly with the slanderous accusations circulated against them by those envious of their faith and measure of Christ. Quoting from her introduction to George Fox's journal, "And though the Lord had provided an outward habitation for him, George Fox, yet he was not willing to stay at it, because it was so remote and far from London, where his service mostly lay. And my concern for God and his holy eternal truth was then in the north, where God had placed and set me, and likewise for the ordering and governing of my children and family, so that we were both willing to live apart some years upon God's account and his truth service, and to deny ourselves the comfort which we might have had in being together, for the sake and service of the Lord and his truth. And if any took occasion or judged us harshly for that separation, the Lord will judge them, for we were innocent." In the below letter, she references a gift sent by George, which was usually cloth, one time scarlet cloth, and another time Spanish black. From this rare letter, we can appreciate their humility and love for each other. Margaret writes to her husband, George Fox, Swarthmore, 18th of 5th month, 1678. Dear love, glad I am to hear that the Lord preserves you in health and capacity to travel in his work and service, for which I praise his holy name. We hope and expect he will draw you homewards in his blessed time. You are much expected and longed for here, but we must all submit to the Lord's will and time. I received your kind token by Leonard Fell, a friend, no relation, which I did not expect, but I know it is your true love to remember us thusly. I thought to have something sent by Mary Fell to you, but I considered that you would only buy something with it for me, as you used to do, which caused me to omit it. I perceive you have sent things to the children by Leonard. He has not yet delivered them. But your company would be more and better to us than all the world, or than all the earth could afford. But only for the Lord's truth and service are we willing to give up your presence here. We would not exchange it for all beside. This day Isabel set forward on her way to Scotland. Thomas and Mary Lower, Sarah, Susanna, and Rachel, with little Bethia, their love and duty are dearly remembered to you, and gladly would they see you here. I am glad to find you have written to my daughter Ruse. Poor woman, I am afraid she will have a heartless being life there. The Lord uphold her over all her trials. We desire much to hear from you and what way you travel. All things are well here with us. Praised and honored be the Lord, from your endeared and loving wife. Margaret Fox, daughter Ruse, is Margaret Fell Ruse, Margaret Fox's oldest daughter by her former deceased husband, Judge Fell. Margaret Ruse had just traveled to Barbados with her family. Her husband, John Ruse, was a Quaker martyr, suffering many cruel whippings and imprisonments, including his ear being cut off along with two companions by the Boston Puritans. Ruse's family home was in Barbados, where his father was a lieutenant colonel and a wealthy sugar planter. So any reference to a heartless being life, there, must have been in reference to the tropical heat. Updated from source, Undaunted Zeal, The Letters of Margaret Fell, 2003, Elsa F. Glines, p. 425. A rich collection of 166 of Margaret Fell's letters with extensive commentary and historical notes. A major evangelical pamphlet by Margaret Fell at the time of the below writings. Margaret retained the name of her deceased first husband, Judge Fell. In 1669, 11 years after her first husband had died, Margaret Fell married George Fox to become Margaret Fox. Their marriage was by command from the Lord Jesus to George Fox. She had already established herself as the mother of the church, as Fox was acknowledged as the father and founder of the society. One cannot but admire the depth of her command of Scripture, her understanding of sanctification, her condemnation of the error so prevalent in Christianity. Then and now again, her love and sympathy for the souls to whom she appeals, and the general strength of her testimony. A call unto the seed of Israel, that they may come out of Egypt's darkness and house of bondage into the land of rest. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose yourself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus said the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money, Isa 52:1-3. Now is the free covenant of everlasting life set open to you, which brings salvation unto the Jews and Gentiles. Therefore, O house of Jacob, come you, and let us walk in the light of the Lord, which is now shining in this his day. Gloriously is the Lord risen, and shining in the consciences of men. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. This is he which Isaiah prophesied of, which is now fulfilled, who said, Lo, everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come you, buy and eat, yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. And Jesus Christ, who is the fountain, cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, he that believes on me. As the scripture has said, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, but this he spoke of the Spirit. John 7:37-38. And this is the fountain which Moses saw and told Israel of, God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, he shall thrust out the enemy before you and shall destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like unto you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help? And who is the sword of your excellency? And your enemies shall be found liars unto you, and you shall tread upon the high places of the earth, Deut 33:27-29. Now is this fulfilled in all who turn to the light, which comes from the life, which is the fountain, which is now set open for all nations to flow unto, and all the nations that are saved walk in the light of the Lamb. David saw this when he said, How excellent is your loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you shall make them drink with the rivers of your pleasures, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light, PSA 36:7-9. Therefore did he say, Tremble you earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, and the flint into a fountain of weight are, PSA 114:7-8. And the day has come that Zechariah saw, who said, In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness, and it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the name of the idols out of the land, and they shall be no more remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land, Zech 13:1-2. This is fulfilled, praises to the living God. The true prophet is risen, which Moses said, The Lord will raise, who teaches his people himself, in whom is life, and this life is the light of men, whose name is the Lord, our righteousness, and whose light leads unto righteousness and purity, and whose blood washes and cleanses from all sin, all that believe and obey the gospel. The day has come which Joel prophesied of, who said, The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heaven and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day, that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valleys, Joel 3:16-18. But to all the stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears who are disobedient to their measures, unto them this fountain is sealed, my beloved is as a spring shut up, and as a fountain sealed, and yet he is as a fountain of gardens and a wellspring of living waters and streams from Lebanon unto the faithful and obedient, who wait in the light for his appearance, the second time without sin. And this all the faithful and obedient shall witness. Therefore all that desire to know the living God, who desires to have living virtue and grace unto your souls, wait in the light, which shines in your consciences, for this fountain of life is the light of men, and there is no life to be found but in the fountain, which is now set open, for the gathering of all nations together, by his light which gathers together into one, which is the covenant, which is given a light to the Gentiles, which brings salvation the ends of the earth. And this you shall eternally witness to be truth. Therefore, as you love your souls, turn to the light and fear the Lord God. For Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And again he said, the law of the wise is a fountain of life, and the law of God endures forever. God is pure, and his law is pure, and the word of the Lord endures forever. Who said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, this endures forever. The same Lord brings from Egypt, and out of the house of bondage still. Therefore, all people, high and low, rich and poor, Jews and Gentiles, barbarian, Scythian, mind the light, by which the Lord God calls out of Egypt and Sodom, which is all the world spiritually, where our Lord is crucified. By this light, which is the life of the law, does he call the seed out of bondage still. For Moses saw this when he said, and he came with 10,000 of his saints, from his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yes, he loved the people, all his saints are in your hand, and they sat down at your feet, everyone shall receive of your words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, Deut. 33:2-4. And this inheritance endures forever, who dwells and abides in this pure and perfect law of God. The promise of God is annexed to this, even the sure mercies of David. And in this law did David meditate day and night, the law of God was in his heart, PSA 1:2. Give ear, O my people, unto my law, incline your ears unto the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. PSA 78:1-7. Now this law David bears witness to, and all that are of God bears witness to this law. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law for the God of Jacob, but those who were rebellious and stubborn. Children of Ephraim, they kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his laws, and so it is still. The Lord complains of the idolatrous shepherds, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, you shall be no priest unto me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now let all people try, and search, whether all the priests and teachers of this nation of England or elsewhere have not quite forgotten this law and cast it behind their backs. And works they call the righteous law of God, which endures forever, which the apostle said was spiritual, holy, just, and good. This law they call a covenant of works, and say Christ has abolished it, which is contrary to Christ's own words, who said, think not that I have come to destroy the law, I have not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one dot or title shall pass from the law until it is all fulfilled, Matt 5:17-18. And when one of the Pharisees, who was a lawyer, asked Christ a question, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Hear Christ Jesus, who is the end of the law, for righteousness, witnesses to the righteous law of God, which Moses taught Israel, who said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words, which I command you this day, shall be in your heart, Deut. 6:6. Hear now the oneness of the Lord is made manifest, who has sent his only begotten Son, not to destroy, but to fulfill this law, which is one. And the apostle said that he was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and he died, and yet he was teaching the law blameless. Now see if any of you blind Pharisees of England can expound this, who deny the law of God and cast it behind your backs. The apostle said, He that sins without the law shall perish without the law, and as many as have sinned under the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law shall be justified before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Now see where you will appear, who have cast the righteous law of God behind your back, and are no ministers, neither of the law nor of the gospel. For the ministers of the Spirit, both under the law and gospel, bear witness to the righteous law of God and walk in it, and fulfill it by the strength and power of him who is the end of the law for righteousness. He that can receive it, let him, for the Gentiles, which have not the law, do the things contained in the law, which shows the works of the law written in their hearts, their consciences bearing them witness, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. This day has come, and your talking of Christ and of a God will not serve, who have cast the law of God behind your backs. The secrets of your hearts you come not to judge, but your covers are come to be rent off, and your nakedness will appear. For out of Zion the law is going forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Zion is redeemed through judgment, and her converts with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For you shall be ashamed of the oaks, which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the gardens, which you have chosen. And you shall be as an oak, whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Isaiah 1:28-31. This shall you priests of Baal and your upholders eternally witness, for the last days are coming. And the mountain of the Lord's house is established upon the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come, and say, Come, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and this is fulfilled in this our day, glory and praise be to the Lord forever. Hearken unto me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose hearts is my law, fear you not the reproaches of men, neither be you afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wood. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Isaiah 51:7-8. And the Lord said by Jeremiah, Thus said the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words which I command you to speak unto them, diminish not a word. And you shall say unto them, Thus said the Lord, If you will not hearken unto me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, and to hearken to the words of my prophets, which I have sent unto you, then will I make this house, like unto Shiloh, and this city a curse, to all the nations upon earth. Jer 26:2-6. Therefore beware all you priests of Baal, which cast the law of God behind your backs. And the Lord said, Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imaginations of their own hearts, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will feed them even with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink, this you shall be sure of. Jer 9:13-15. And the Lord said by Zechariah, Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts sent in his spirit by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass, that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, said the Lord of hosts. Zech 7:12-13. Therefore all people, as you desire your soul's peace and comfort, turn to the law, written in your hearts, which the Lord has put in your inward parts, that you may know him to be your God, and that you may be his people, that you need not say, Know the Lord, for all shall know him from the least to the greatest. When the Lord appeared unto Abraham, he said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be you perfect. Here is a law, and this endures forever. He said, I will make my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you, and your seed after you, every man-child among you shall be circumcised, Gen. 17:1-12. You shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskins, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me, and you, this is the seal of the covenant, the circumcision which is of the heart. And the apostle said, he gave him the covenant of circumcision, Acts 7:8. And again he said, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised outwardly, Rom. 4:11. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh, and this is the seal of the covenant, which stands forever, unto all the seed of Abraham, to which the promise is. Except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say? Then that the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, who followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained unto the law of righteousness, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, Rom. 9:29-32. And here do all the builders and Pharisees of this age stumble, who know not the light, nor the life of the law. They set at nothing the cornerstone, Christ Jesus the light, who is the rock upon which the whole church is built, and by which Jews and Gentiles are to come to salvation. This must have come to pass, for it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Because of their stumbling and disallowing the cornerstone, Christ Jesus the light, the acceptance of which is the first step into the way, the truth, and the life. Because none can come unto the Father but by him, and so long as they are out of this way, and stumble at the light, they shall never know the true faith, nor they shall ever come to attain the law of righteousness. Because they do not seek it by the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is not held with respect of persons, but is a mystery held in a pure conscience, which the defiled conscience can never know. This you shall eternally witness. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. As said the apostle, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, until the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. For Moses said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord raise up unto you, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear this prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Acts 3:22-23. And now is this prophet risen in the consciences of men, and he is teaching his people by his light, who is the light of the world, and this is the condemnation of the world, that light is come, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But from the light, which shines in their consciences, they cannot flee, but one day it shall find them out. All who hate it, it is their condemnation forever, but as many as obey it and walk in it, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Yes, all the prophets from Samuel, and those that followed after as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days, you are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, And in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, unto you first. God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities, Acts 3:24-26. The light of Jesus makes manifest sin and iniquity, and turns from the darkness to the light. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand and will keep you, and give you for a covenant to the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. This is he that brings salvation unto Jews and Gentiles, who brings back the captivity of the whole seed of Abraham, to which the promise is, who is anointed to preach glad tidings to the meek, who is sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, Christ Jesus the light, who is the everlasting covenant and oath of God, is made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually, Heb. 7:1-3. So all poor people, Jews and Gentiles, stop paying attention to your changeable priests. For Christ Jesus the unchangeable has risen to teach his people, who is made a priest with the oath of God, which never can be revoked, but stands forevermore, for Jews and Gentiles, barbarians, Scythians, bond and free, who has taken down the partition wall between us, and has made of two one new man, as the apostle said, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect, Gal. 3:14-17. This is the seed which the Lord has promised, that shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among all people, and those who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which God has blessed. Therefore, all people, as you desire the redemption of your souls, turn to the light of Jesus Christ, which makes manifest your evil deeds and the secret thoughts of your hearts, that they are vain. That is the light by which the Lord teaches his people, by which all the seed of Israel, Jews and Gentiles, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, Rom 11:26-27. So do not deceive your souls, there is no covenant but where the sins are taken away. They who are strangers from the life are aliens to the covenant of the promise. Where there is not the circumcision, which is of the heart, and taking away the foreskin, and renting the veil, where this is not, there is no seal of the covenant, and this you shall eternally witness to be truth. So all to the light of Jesus turn your minds, and walk in his light, that the eyes of your understandings may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. And beware, I charge you in the presence of the Lord, of walking in the vanities of your minds, having your understandings darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in you, because of the blindness of your hearts, and so come to be past feeling, and so come to work all uncleanness with greediness. Therefore, as you love your souls, turn to the light of Jesus, that you may come to be learned and taught by him, who is the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One. To whom it is said, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations, that my salvation may extend to the end of the earth. Thus said the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard you, and I will preserve you, and give you for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that sit in darkness, show yourselves. This is fulfilled in this our day, and his light is risen, which shall bring salvation to the ends of the earth, and all the nations that are saved shall walk in this light. Which said to the prisoner, go forth, and to him that has long sat in darkness, show yourself. They shall not hunger or thirst any more. For he that has mercy on them shall lead them, by the springs of water shall he guide them. They shall come from far, from the north, and from the west. For God has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Glory and praise be unto him forever. Therefore, all people, to the law and to the testimony written in your hearts, turn your minds, that so you may come to know the revelation of Jesus, which is a mystery, which in other ages was not revealed to the sons of men, as it is now revealed by his Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord before the world began. For the outward law, which was written in tables of stone, which was to the Jews only, is changed. The circumcision which was outward, and the Sabbath which was outward, and the priests which were outward, and the temple which was outward, These were figures, types, and shadows of him who was to come. The body and substance of these is Christ Jesus, who comes to fulfill the law and is the end of the law for righteousness, who washes and cleanses and purges by his blood all that come unto the Father by him. For Christ has not entered into the holy places, made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but has entered into heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God for us. For if sprinkling the unclean with the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sanctifies, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, without spot unto God, purge your consciences from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause is he the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For there is no respect of persons with God, for circumcision truly profits, if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if he who is not of the circumcision, as the Jew is outwardly, if he keep the law by keeping of the law, he judges you who are of the law by the letter outwardly, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the law which is according to the letter without, which is a carnal commandment, and the priesthood which is without, and the sacrifices, offerings, and outward washings, all these has he abolished and taken away, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which were against us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Let no man therefore judge you in respect of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is Christ, who is the light, which is risen in the conscience, which purges and cleanses the conscience by his Spirit from dead works to serve the living God. They who had the outward law did not know this, as Stephen witnessed unto them, whom they stoned to death. This is that Moses said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren him shall you hear. This is he who was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, who spoke to him in Mount Sinai, Acts 7:37-38. So this is he who spoke to them in Mount Sinai, whom they would not obey, but thrust him from them in their hearts, saying unto Aaron, make us gods, and so they made a calf and forsook the living God, and so God turned from them and made them worship the host of heaven. Stephen spoke plainly to them, who were of the Jews outwardly, who had the law outward, the circumcision outward, the priest, temple, Sabbath, and sacrifices outward, and said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did so to you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. So these are those who had the outward law, which was given to them by the disposition of the angels, but did not live in the life of it, and so did slay, and were betrayers of the Just One, who came to fulfill the law. When Stephen spoke these words to them, they gnashed upon him with their teeth and took up stones and stoned him. So all that come to witness the life and substance of the law and prophets Christ Jesus the cornerstone, come to be persecuted by them, who do not know the law. For the apostle said, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them which know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man so long as he lives, but this they know not who are alive without the law. And as many as sin without the law shall perish without the law. For the apostle said, I was once alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died, but this is a mystery to the lawless and disobedient for whom the law is. And the law was added because of the transgression, until the seed came. He that can receive it, let him. But now, said the apostle, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. But to the men of the letter, who are only ministers of the letter, this is a mystery, who neither know the life of the law nor the gospel. They have gotten into the seat of the scribes and Pharisees, who had the law and the prophets outwardly read every Sabbath day, yet did not know the life of Moses, who wrote of Christ and said, a prophet would the Lord raise like unto me, who spoke to God face to face. The prophets prophesied of Christ, of the coming of the Just One, and of his sufferings, how he should be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and how he should be as a lamb, dumb before his shearers. Though they read this without them, yet when it came to be fulfilled, they were so blind, they did not see it, and so crucified the Lord of life. But now the beast has gotten into another color, and now his ministers have gotten the words of Christ and of his apostles, and they take these words and have gotten into the seat of the Pharisees, which Christ found them in when he came and cried woe against. Here they sit decked with Christ's words and the apostles' words and the saints' words. With these they continue deceiving poor people and making merchandise of their souls, speaking things they ought not for filthy lucre, who serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. They betray and murder poor souls, and do all that in them lie and spend all their strength, against the truth of God, which is now risen in this his day, in life and power, which makes them clearly manifest to be Antichrist's false prophets, and deceivers, who are gone into the world which John spoke of. Now the light is risen, and they are manifested, exposed by the light. Glory and praises be unto the Lord forever, who is gathering his flock, which were scattered from their mouths. For thus said the Lord, I will both search my sheep, and seek them out. I will feed them in a good pasture, and they shall lie down in a good fold, and I will set one shepherd over them, and they shall be no more a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the field devour them any more. Woe to the shepherds, said the Lord, that have fed themselves, and not the flock that feed with the fat and are clothed with the wool. The Lord is coming to be avenged of them. The light is risen, which makes them manifest to be the false prophets and the Antichrist s. They were seemingly all true prophets, until the light came, which made them manifest by their fruits, while they were clothed in the sheep's clothing, the saints' words and Christ's words, painted sepulchres, beautiful without. But now that the true prophet, Christ Jesus, is risen, whom Moses said the Lord would raise, now they appear to be the false prophets indeed which Christ told us to beware of, who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits we know them, who said lo here and lo there, but Christ said, believe them not. All their practice and labor is to oppose and persecute the truth of God, as it is in Jesus now made manifest in his saints. They deny and oppose the light, when all the ministers of God, which ever taught for God, turned people from the darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan unto God. They do what they can to turn people from the light and to keep people in darkness. So here they stand to keep people from the first principle that leads to God. For the light is the first principle of pure religion and undefiled before God. Some of them deny the light and some call it natural, and so they deny Christ Jesus, who is given a covenant of light, which is the true light, which has enlightened every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so these antichrists and deceivers which are entered into the world know him not, who has said, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. But these thieves and robbers who are hirelings, who only come to steal and to kill and to destroy, as Christ said, they keep from the door, and deny that by which everyone enters who are saved, the light, Christ Jesus, who is the cornerstone and rock, upon which the whole church is built. This light they deny to be sufficient to teach salvation. They deny the new covenant, the law written in the heart, and call obedience to the light and law of God, a covenant of works. They would have the law and the prophets, Christ and the apostles to talk of, and steal their words, and never expect to come into the life and condition of the prophets, Christ and the apostles. So they deny revelation and the Spirit's teaching, and would steal that which the prophets, Christ, and the apostles wrote, and make it their own, by speaking their words without possessing the spirit by which they were written, yet pretending they fully understand the words enough to teach others what they mean. So they go about to make poor people believe, who are ignorant of God and all truth, that they can serve God with their stolen words, who is a God of truth and a jealous God, a just and a righteous God, who renders unto every one according to their deeds. They these minister without the apostles' spirit, shall know one day when they have filled up the measure of their fathers, the Pharisees and scribes that crucified Christ, that upon them will come all the righteous blood which has been shed from Abel. So they go on and preach up sin, that none can be free from sin, so long as they are upon earth, and the impossibility of perfection. They get the apostles and Christ's words, and quite deny that which they spoke for, preached and prayed for, and labored for, which was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And so all poor people, as ever you desire to know the living God and the living truth as it is in Jesus, or as ever you look for the redemption of your souls, turn from these deceivers and turn to the light of Jesus, which lets you see the deceit of your hearts. This is that by which all that ever knew God were guided, by the pure and perfect law of God which is written in the heart. David said, "Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and teaches out of your law." And the apostle said, "I delight in the law of God, after the inward man." So all to mind the pure law of God, which endures until it is all fulfilled, for the law is holy, the commandment is holy, just, and good. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so as you walk in the light, and in the law of God in the inward man, you will see and know what the fulfilling of the law of God is, and then you will see what the apostle said when he said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law," Rom 3:21. So as you are guided by the eternal light and Spirit, you will know the law of the Spirit of life, which makes free from sin and death. And as you dwell in the light of Jesus Christ, which is one in all, then will you come to know, and see that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one, there is none that understand, there is none that seek after God, they are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable, there is none that doth good, no, not one." For they which were the Jews outwardly, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. But Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believes, and the righteousness which is of faith, speaks on this wise, "Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring down Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead." But what said it? "The word is near you in your heart, and in your mouth, and that is the word of faith which we preach. For if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, and whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Therefore be not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So speak you, and so do, as those who shall be judged by the law of liberty, James 2. And so all who are taught by the eternal pure measure of God are guided by the pure law. For the apostle said, "I would not have known sin, but by the law, for I had not known covetousness, except the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" So all the children of the Lord are taught by the Lord, and in righteousness are they established, and they are far from oppression. By the law and by the testimony are they taught, and who are taught of the Lord, they know the Lord to be their King and Lawgiver and Christ Jesus, who is given for a covenant of light for Jews and for Gentiles, to be the way, the truth, and the life, who has said, "There is none that cometh to the Father, but by me." The light of Jesus Christ is the leader, teacher, and guider of all that come to the Father. The scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise, by the faith of Jesus, Christ might be given to them that believe. So turn to the light, believe in the light, and wait in the light to receive the promise. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, that do believe in the light and walk in the light and is obedient to the light, but they are all one in Christ Jesus. And if they be Christ's, and walk in the light of Christ and dwell in the light of Christ, then are they Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And the scripture foreseen that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed," Gal 3:8. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" Gen 18:17-18. This is the everlasting gospel, and promise of God to all generations that do believe, for all that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So wait all in the light to know the law of God, which is just and pure, which was added because of transgression, until the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, which was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. He that has an eye may see, and where the eye is open, there all sees eye to eye when the Lord brings again Zion, and the light of the body is the eye, and if the eye be single, the whole body is full of light. As you walk in the light and wait in the light and abide in the light, this you will read and understand. Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And as you walk in the light, you follow the Lamb, who is the light of the holy city. And as you dwell and abide in the light, you will come to see the two sons which Abraham had, one by a bondwoman and another by a free woman, which the apostle said is an allegory. For these are the two covenants, said he. One from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Hagar, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the other is Jerusalem, which is from above and is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, you barren that bears not, but this is a mystery to all dark unclean spirits. Read Isa 54. Christ Jesus said, While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goes. And out of the light, the way Christ Jesus, are both Jews and Gentiles. But the light of the glorious gospel is risen, and the desire of all nations is come. Who will shake all nations? Who will fill his house with glory? The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you, for thus said the Lord, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. Therefore rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king cometh unto you, he is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for you also, by the blood of your covenant, I have sent forth your prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare unto you, that I will render double unto you. Zech 9:9-12. Therefore this is the day of your visitation, you prisoners, who are in the pit that is without water. Turn to the stronghold, the rock, Christ Jesus the light, that he may say to the prisoner, Go forth, and to him that sits in darkness, show yourself, and by no other way nor name under heaven shall you ever know the resurrection, but by Jesus Christ, who is the light, the way, the truth, and the life. Who has said, I am the resurrection and the life, he that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So as you desire the life of your souls, the resurrection of the prisoner, which lies in the pit, which is without water, turn to the light, and hearken diligently to the word which is near in the heart. Incline your ears, that your souls may live. For the Lord has said, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander. This is he who leads Joseph like a flock, who was dead, but is alive, whose name is called the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and there's none can hear without this preacher, which is sent, who is anointed to preach glad tidings to the poor, liberty to the captives, who is the preacher of righteousness, who preaches to the spirits in prison, who opens the prison door, and brings the prisoner forth of the prison house. Glory and praise be unto him forever. This is witnessed, and fulfilled, to his everlasting praise and glory. And the everlasting priest is witnessed, who has by one offering perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof also the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. The Holy Ghost sanctifies, Christ Jesus the everlasting offering, perfects them that are sanctified, the blood of the covenant sanctifies. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, Heb. 13:12. So all people turn to the measure of the light which makes manifest sin, and if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, and here is the fellowship one with another. the apostle speaking of those that should not inherit the kingdom of God, and he said to the Corinthians, "Such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God," 1 Cor. 6:11. So to the pure light, all be obedient. For Peter wrote to the elect, "According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father thorough the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ," 1 Pet. 1:2. This is that by which all are sanctified, Jews and Gentiles, all that come to God by him, are sanctified by his blood. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin, Heb. 10:18. So all in the light dwell, which is given to the Gentiles, and for a covenant to the people, and for the opening of the blind eyes. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And the apostle gave thanks unto God, who had chosen them unto salvation, through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth to these. 2:13. Therefore all wait in the light, and wait upon the Lord, and stand fast in your measures, that you may sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be sanctified in Christ Jesus, who has by one offering perfected forever them that are sanctified and none else. Therefore do not deceive your souls, for Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So all wait in the light for his appearing, and unto you that look for him and wait for him in the light. You shall see him appear the second time without sin, and as the day dawns, the day star will arise in your hearts. And this you shall see and know, if you be faithful and wait in the light. And whether you hear or forbear, you shall eternally witness this to be truth. Margaret Fell, 1668, updated from her book. A Brief Collection of Remarkable Passages, London, 1710, pp. 468-507. Margaret Fell, further on observing the law, many of today's Christians think there is nothing they have to change in their life, that God loves them, approves of them the way they are, that their sinful life of greed, lying, pleasures, lust, envy, jealousy, sexual immorality, etc. are all excused by Christ with a free pass to heaven. This is very similar to what the ranters in 17th century England believed, except they used quoted scripture to justify their sinful behaviors. They were a very troublesome sect to the Quakers, because people often confused the ranters to be Quakers. Margaret Fox wrote a very strong paper refuting their scriptural claims, including ranter claims cited below. Ranter statement, "To those in the liberty of the sons of God, all things are lawful, according to Paul." In her published paper, Margaret's reply to the ranter's scriptural assertion was, "You, who are in your carnal apprehensions of God, are in the world without God. You are alive without the law and have not come to know the law yet, and are dead in sins and trespasses. You that live in pleasure are dead while you live. You live unto sin and so are free from righteousness. The law which is holy, just, and good shall cut you to pieces. You have not yet come to know the law, nor what is lawful, which everyone passes through before they come to know the liberty of the sons of God, which law cuts down all your carnal apprehensions of God. O you blasphemer, do you say there is no such thing as lawful and unlawful, godliness or ungodliness? Would you lay waste the scriptures and make void the righteous law of God which takes hold of the transgressor? Would you trample upon the blood of the new covenant and count it an unholy thing? Oh, the day of the vengeance is coming upon you. The Lord God is clothed with vengeance against you and all such as you are. You who sit at the table of devils are shut out from the liberty of the sons of God and know not the condition that Paul has passed through. When you know that, it will be death and destruction to you. This you shall eternally witness before ever you come to know the living God." By the time of George Fox's death, almost all the ranters had been converted to Quakers, which is not surprising considering their roots. As William Penn describes in his introduction to George Fox's journal, these people were called seekers by some and the family of love by others. When they became aware of one another, they sometimes met together, but not formally to pray or preach at appointed times and places in their own wills as they were accustomed to do in times past. But instead, they waited together in silence, and as anything rose in any of their minds that they thought came from God, they would sometimes speak. After an abundance of revelation, some of these people, not keeping in humility and the fear of God, were exalted above their measure. And for want of staying their minds in a humble dependence upon him that opened their understandings to see great things in his law, they ran out in their own imaginations. They started preaching and teaching before they were authorized and finished by the teacher. Mixing their imaginations with their divine openings, they brought forth a monstrous birth, to the scandal of those who feared God and who waited daily in the temple, not made with hands, for the consolation of Israel, the Jew inward, circumcised in spirit. This increased sin by the increase of grace, and turned the grace of God into a lack of restraint from evil, licensing a safer way of sinning than before, as if Christ had come not to save us from our sins, but to save us while still sinning, not to take away sin, but that we might sin more freely at his cost, and with less danger to ourselves. Thus Margaret Fox has cleared the error so common in Christianity today, as well she completely describes the solution. We have been taught that we no longer have to walk by the law, that to do so is works, we are to subsist on faith and grace. And that is right to a point. We can't attain salvation by only trying to observe the law true, but in faith we must walk to the law that is already written in our hearts. We must do what we know is right, and not do what we know is wrong, at least as much as we are capable. Until we are led by the Spirit of God's personal commands to us, the outward moral law is our schoolmaster, reminding us to correct conduct and motivating us to seek God's help for those things we can't control. We must seek and submit to Christ's and the Holy Spirit's conviction with resulting commands to repent, each command also being written on our heart, the inward law that we must follow to progress spiritually. Unless we obtain the complete inward law, written on our heart, and added to one command at a time, we are far less righteous than the Pharisees, of whom Christ said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Matt 5:20. Yes, the law must be fulfilled in us. Christ must change us to become like himself so we too fulfill the law, until that time when our faith is complete, held in a pure conscience. We must pass through the time of impurity, seeking purity, with the law sounding our deficiencies and transgressions to our sorrow, and resulting in our motivation to seek divine help to change. The law is our schoolmaster and condemnation until we are led by the voice of the Spirit of God. If we ignore the law and its requirements for good conduct, reminding us to find God's help to be rid of sin, we are hopelessly locked into sin, with the condemnation of the Lord sure to follow. We must walk by the inward law written on our hearts until we arrive at purity. And every man who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3, at the final result of our purification, heaven and earth passes away for us. We then walk in love, still capable of being tempted, but protected by the strength of Christ from falling to temptation. If you listen to someone who tells you that you need to do nothing to please God, to just believe, you are listening to a false prophet, who looks godly in his sheep's clothing, but who is full of greed and avarice on the inside. But to sit, sinning, remaining a slave to sin, and say that I believe in Jesus, that is all I need. Or to say that I have the righteousness of Christ because I believe and have been baptized, leaves you with far less righteousness than the Pharisees and without any inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. These blind guides, masquerading as Christ's ministers, tell you that you have the righteousness of Christ, so you need do nothing. They say to rely on the imputed righteousness of Christ to us because you believe in Jesus. There is imputed righteousness that comes after we have crucified our sinful nature by obedience on the cross. Abraham believed God's voice and obeyed him, so too must we. As Abraham went on to be circumcised, just as we must receive the spiritual circumcision, our heart circumcised from sin. As Abraham exercised his faith to leave his home for a new land, so we forsake the world to enter God's kingdom. As Abraham exercised his faith by obeying God's voice, willing to sacrifice Isaac, so we too must be obedient to the voice within. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. 1 Cor 15:34, you can be sure. No sexually immoral, impure, or covetous person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. F5:5-6. It is necessary to crucify the sinful nature to have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, Gal 5:24. For you cannot please God by continuing to live in the sinful nature, Rom 8:8. But to crucify the sinful nature leads to union with Christ while on earth and entry into his glorious kingdom, also in this life. Yes, the law still applies to all believers until they are led by the Holy Spirit. The law is our schoolmaster leading us to faith, which comes when you hear the word of God within your heart, believe it to be true, believe it to be God speaking to you, and so then obey all that you are commanded to do. That is to follow Christ, hearing his Spirit speak to you, and then obeying it. The words Christ speaks to you are spirit and impart life, the life of God, which those who follow, obey his leading, Christ do receive. If you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law, Gal 5:18. Those led by the Spirit are sons of God. Rom 8:14. From the word of the Lord within, there are no laws when you are under complete control of the Spirit. You walk in love in obedience as prompted, you don't walk in restricted flesh. See, until your words and deeds are prompted by God, you must obey the moral core of the law for more on this subject. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.